this is the Lifted Life Podcast. We created this show to help you live a lifted life. Let's do it. Okay, everyone, welcome to episode one of the Lifted Life. We are jumping in today to talk about the differences between anxiety and stress. So, I would say there's a misconception floating around that they're the same thing. And I think this is kind of damaging. And so what my goal for this episode is to kind of break it apart, tease it apart, figure out the differences so that you can see how one may be causing you more harm than you realize, and also so that you can break the habit of either of these critters, if you will. So,
would you say stress can cause anxiety, or anxiety can cause stress, or do you think we should break them each down?
You know, I think that's a good question. I think that they can both cause each other, but first let's just kind of dissect what each one is. So stress is a natural response that happens in the body when something happens. I think it's part of what keeps us alive, and it is actually a good thing to have a good, healthy amount of stress. It's only whenever we're constantly stressed that our body doesn't have the time or space to heal and rejuvenate. And in that constant state of stress, I think that's where disease creeps in. That's where other symptoms can begin to manifest, because we don't have a break from stress. Now, on the other hand, anxiety is a symptom of constant worry, constant worst case scenario thinking. And to me, it's a whole nother critter. I don't think everybody has anxiety, but I do think everybody has stress.
So you think stress is a natural process of our life?
Yeah, it's absolutely.
But anxiety doesn't have to be.
No, I don't think so. And I think some people just are more anxiety prone than other people. But I think we're all prone to stress. So I think, first of all, it might be healthy to dissect and say, okay, am I stressed or am I anxious? And a lot of times, let's say you have something like a big talk coming up that you have to get ready for. I think it's natural to have this pulsing feeling of energy in your body. And a lot of times we identify that as anxiety, when really it's truly just nerves, excitement, energy. Whereas truly to be anxious is when you're in this thought loop of the mind of, you know, I can't handle this, or what if this happens? What if that happens? It's this worst case scenario, very fight or flight ignited, triggered state.
Yeah, I know you're... anxiety is more near and dear to you. I mean, not that I'm not anxious, but I know you're more passionate about it, so I'm tiptoeing around this. But I see stress as useful. It's a way to see what's bothering you and how to shift, how to change. I don't see anxiety as useful.
Right. No, I totally agree.
I see what you're saying, how stress is a natural thing. It's maybe something you may even need. It's like an indicator your body is telling you, hey, this is stressing me out. And then you have to pivot and decide, do I continue or do I not? To me, anxiety is not the truth. It's not useful in my experience. It's something that you're worrying about, you're fretting about, that really isn't an issue in your life. It is to you.
Right.
You feel like this is the worst case scenario, but it's not real.
Well, I think that's why it's so important to tease these two apart.
And I understand that you can argue about what really is real. That's a whole different subject. But in our conversation, I'm saying the anxiety is not real.
Right. And so by teasing these two apart and being able to say, oh, you know, now that I've listened to this, I realize I'm stressed about this life situation, but I'm not anxious. And like I said, I don't want to downplay stress, because I actually think stress is what causes so many of our diseases, illnesses, issues. I mean, you and I have both experienced it. When we've had some kind of low vibration days, that's typically when we'll catch a cold. Like when we're kind of having a peak or a valley. So let me just break it down. I have this theory that all couples, all relationships, in fact, have peaks and valleys. And to be totally honest with you, we were so excited to start this podcast, but we were in a little bit of a valley. I'm not even going to lie. You know, I don't freak out about the valleys. We've been together about 17 years now. Sounds like forever. And so You almost get used to the natural rhythm of ups and downs, and it's all about what you make it mean. And for me, a valley simply means that there's a peak coming up. And so when we decided to start the podcast, I knew absolutely for sure, 100%, we needed to create a peak of energy of our relationship before starting. So,
but to kind of add to that peak and valley, one of my mentors always, or he likes to say that, you're right, there are peaks and valleys. And I like the analogy of when you're in a valley, that just means a peak's coming. Mm-hmm. But he also says that they don't have to be equal. Mm-hmm. You know, me having a scientific background, I always think of like sine waves and I think of them as equal when they don't have to be. The valleys can be very shallow and the peaks can be very tall.
Right. So it can be a couple days in the valley and then you could have a few week long peak.
Right.
Right. So why did I talk about the peaks and valleys in relationship to the anxiety and stress?
Because stress is a natural...
Oh, and I was talking about how when you're stressed constantly, though, it taxes your immune system. And we've experienced that when we were in a valley, just with our relationship, having a hard time getting on the same page. I had actually mentioned I thought we were on an entirely different bookshelf, not just the different chapters. But
we're on the same planet, so that's
right.
A positive.
Or are we? So anyway, stress with not being addressed, if you're constantly in the state of stress, this too can cause problems. And yet looking over at anxiety and saying, this is a symptom that is manifesting, that is, you know, causing me to be very distracted. It's causing me to really miss out on activities. I mean, people who have serious anxiety sometimes can't leave the house. Sometimes they can't start a project because they're just paralyzed with anxiety. So to me, to separate these two and to be clear about where am I really, am I stressed or am I anxious, can help you see where you need to go. And so if you say, yeah, I'm just constantly stressed, but I'm not really anxious, then you can say, okay, how can I find ways to de-stress? And versus if you're like, no, I'm not really stressed, I'm truly anxious, I'm in this anxiety-ridden thought pattern, then I can see how, okay, maybe what do I need to do to break this habit of anxiety? And just to be clear, the pattern of anxiety might be triggered by something biological, hormonal, chemical, from your microbiome. Any of these things might trigger your anxiety, but so often we stay locked in the pattern of it from our habits because this one thing triggers us and then we go into a pattern of different behaviors that keeps us stuck. And so I think one of the main reasons I wanted to start with just the difference of these two is so that people can identify where they are so they can see where they want to go. What do you think? In your life in general, do you think you're more plagued by stress or do you truly have symptoms of anxiety?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm trying to break down because, you know, we started out, I said anxiety wasn't real. And I didn't mean that it's not a real thing. I was saying that typically the things you're anxious about are irrational fears or irrational things that really aren't going to harm you, but you become anxious about them.
From thinking about them, from being on that constant loop. Let's talk real quick too about how anxiety is a cover emotion for fear. So at any point that you're anxious, you can peel back a layer and say, right now I'm afraid of something. What am I really afraid of? And by being, that's kind of another example of just being more clear about where you really are so that you can see which way you want to go.
Yeah, it's funny as you're breaking all this down, I'm trying to figure out if some of the issues I have are anxiety or stress now, because I wouldn't classify them as anxiety, but as you start defining it, maybe I'm more anxious than I am stressed.
Well, and it's, I think, tricky. Whenever I've had anxiety before, it's so crippling that when I'm just stressed, I'm like, well, this is a walk in the park. I could be stressed any day of the week because I have this energy and I have this momentum and I'm crossing things off. And so for me, I've always said, you know, they're not the same thing. They're not even close. But someone who's truly chronically stressed, they don't have ways to unwind. They don't know how to release it and relax. It really can build up in the body as this tension. And then they're ruining their relationships. They're ruining their health. They're not, you know, able to really show up in the world. So to me, I don't want to downplay either of them. I just kind of think it's so cool to kind of see how they're different and how each one shows up in our life. And the real emphasis, I think, within this idea of a lifted life is, how do I want to shift? Like, knowing that this is true, what do I want to create? And so if one of these areas is more problematic for you, you can take a look at it and say, okay, this is how I've been handling this. This is how I've been responding, but how do I want to respond? And if I am someone who's chronically stressed, what are my ways to unwind and de-stress? Or if I'm somebody who's anxious and I can see that I'm in this thought pattern, how can I rewire my brain to not make this habit of anxiety so consuming for me?
Yeah, I think that's the crucial point, is how do you resolve it? How do you get somewhere where you want to go to get away from it? I think that's...
Well, and I think to me, it's about figuring out what you want versus what you have. And so often we get stuck in a pattern of talking about what we think is quote unquote true, but really we just keep telling the story over and over again. And so by continually talking about it, we're making it more and more real. And real only means that we've given our attention to it. We've found evidence for it. And so let's just say the opposite of anxiety is relief. This is, you know, something I talk about a lot in our course, the Relief Course. The opposite of anxiety being relief, how can I bring more relief into my experience if that is what I'm seeking? So often we say, oh, I don't want anxiety and I'm sick of this anxiety. We're talking about anxiety. We're bringing more and more of it to our awareness. And so it's about shifting. What would relief look like? What would release look like? What would I do if I were at peace? What would that look like right now? And so to me, it's about bringing that into your focus, because what you focus on gets bigger and more real. And also, when it comes to the brain, what we practice is what we get good at. And so that's why we talk about anxiety being a habit, because we literally get into this thought pattern and it's so easy to think and believe. And yet, if we want to think and believe something else, we have to start, you know, a new story. And that's why I think so much of life is the story we're telling. And whether it's the story about anxiety or the story about stress, we can rewrite that story to experience relief, to experience something else.
I think that's important, kind of what you were saying about what you think about it becomes true. And how do you think different thoughts? How do you...
Well, I think at any point that you become the watcher of your thoughts and you begin to see that you are the awareness that is watching the thoughts. So to me, I don't just want to share this heavy episode of here's stress and here's anxiety and here's why it's ruining us. It's not about that at all. What's amazing, the exciting thing is that we can begin to see how we as the watcher of our thoughts can shape a new story. We can simply look at the story we've been telling and say, is this useful? At any point, you can stop yourself in your tracks and say, what is the story I'm telling about this? So like when I get frazzled because our house is messy and cluttered, you know what happens. I can instantly stop and say, what is the story I'm telling? What is a different story I'm telling? Oh my goodness, look at all these items that we have that in our experience that we've been blessed with. Oh my goodness, I have an abundance of all the things I've ever wanted. Oh my goodness, I have time right now to clear out some of this. That story that I begin to tell shifts it. And truly, I believe what we practice is what we get good at. So if you want to create a new experience, you tell a different story and you practice telling it and you tell others that it's the story that you want to create. And you literally become so intentional about creating that new story that you pave that new pathway. And
I think you're right. I think that's one thing people just, they don't realize. I mean, that they are in control of their thoughts. Like, I think many people think that maybe other people think their thoughts or that life...
No, things happen to them, and that's why they feel that way.
But it's just not true.
Right.
Or like my mentor says, not useful. It's just not useful.
Well, true nobody or not, can make you matter. Feel anyway. So like when I was going through college, I started my career path of teaching as a teacher assistant at a preschool. And we actually taught these kids to say, you made me feel blank.
Yeah, that's wrong.
It's so wrong, right? But that's all we knew at that time. Like now we know that that's literally, there's a key in your pocket and it's the happiness key, the empowerment key, and you're literally taking it out and just handing it to somebody.
But what's so messed up is it's so true and it's so simple and people just don't want to believe that because it's too easy. Like it has to be more complicated than that. It has to be harder than that. There has to be something to unlock, to buy, to purchase.
Nope, it's already in your pocket.
And you already own it.
Yeah, it's already in your pocket. And so how do you shift away from you made me feel blank? It's by understanding that the only way ever you can feel a certain thing is if you think and believe a thought. So I always use this example. If I walk into a room and somebody gives me a dirty look, I can say they made me feel insecure. I could say that. And most people mm-hmm. be like, oh yeah, because they looked at you that way and mm-hmm. it made you. But really the only way I can feel insecure is if I think a thought like I should have worn something different, or my hair is really pretty too crazy today. Or, you know, if I think a thought and believe it. But if on the other hand, the story I tell is, oh my gosh, that lady just, she looks so upset. I bet she wasn't hugged enough as a child. Or I bet she had a fight with her spouse this morning. Or, I mean, who knows what kind of news she got over the weekend. And if I tell the story that her face that she makes, her expressions, the words that come out of her mouth, they're about her and not me, then I am now back with my key. And I understand that I am the meaning-making machine. And so if she gives me a dirty look, I can make it mean whatever I want. And the only way I feel something is if I think and believe a thought.
Yeah, I like that analogy. I like the analogy I like is the mirror analogy, that everything's a reflection of your own personal belief and feelings. So you look at someone, they do something, and you feel like they directed that towards you. That's actually a reflection of your internal feelings and what you think about yourself, always, in my opinion, in my experience. So I agree with what you're saying, but I think that's an analogy I always use, that when I get upset about something, it's something deeper internal about me, not them.
Right. So how about you kind of round it out for the good people at home, how this applies to stress and anxiety and what we make things mean? Because really, there's such a connection, but I'd love to hear you how you can connect it.
Connect what?
Well, all this stuff about what we make things mean, how we're the meaning-making machine, how we are a mirror. Mm-hmm. What does this have to do with stress and anxiety?
We are not a mirror. I think everything is a mirror of our reflections.
Okay. Yeah. So how is that useful for people that are trying to figure out if they're stressed or anxious, and then once they've figured it out, how to create relief for themselves?
Wow, you really
put the ball in my
corner. I'm not the life coach in this situation. So that's what I'm trying to deduce for myself is, am I classifying things correctly as stress or anxiety?
Well, in either way, they're just words. They're just labels. They're just signposts. Yeah. So I don't think that we really need to slap a label on ourselves.
Well, let's go this route then. Mm-hmm. Do they both have a physical component? Because sometimes I like to think physically how I feel and try to...
I think they can both manifest with physical reactions. You know, with anxiety, there's heart palpitations. Sometimes there's a lump in the throat. There's sweating. There's breathlessness. And I think stress can probably manifest as that as well. It's more about understanding, you know, what each symptoms are. And I think that's the valid point too. It's not really about giving yourself a label. It's more about seeing, okay, what is the area I'm struggling with so that I can see the other side of that coin. If I'm in a perpetual thought model of worry and overthinking things, then how can I shift that? Versus if I'm just putting too much on my plate, causing tension and chronic exhaustion, then how can I fix that? It's more about seeing where you want to go. And when it comes to the meaning making machines, what we make it mean will determine how we respond. So if we make it mean that we're broken or there's something wrong with us, then it's really hard to fix. It's hard to pivot. But if instead we see that this is just more truths being revealed, and that there's a lighter, more loving, exciting way to experience life, then that's probably more likely something we will move towards. So using our meaning-making machine to make it mean something lighter, that something else is possible, to me, that's where the magic's at.
Okay, so I think for me, I think stress I can deal with. I actually kind of, in some situations, like stress, especially when it comes to work. I like the challenge. So I see stress as useful. Anxiety, not so much. Right. I see it crippling. You know, there's certain things, I mean, I don't care for public speaking. So those are the thoughts of those things make me anxious. I don't care for those. But I do agree that that's just a thought. The thought is I don't like public speaking. I can do it. I've done it. It's not that I can't. And it's definitely not going to kill me. And it's definitely not going to hurt me. But in the situation where I'm doing it, it feels like it's going to kill me. It feels like something I don't want to do. Still working on the thought part of it. Like,
what am I making this mean?
Exactly. And the really what I'm making this mean is I'm worried about being judged. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when
you're worried. When you say worry of judge, you're saying fear of judgment. Yeah, yeah. And so anxiety is, once again, always fear.
Which is ridiculous, because it doesn't matter what, it truly does not matter what people think. Mm-hmm. They have the right to think whatever they want, and mm-hmm. I should allow them to have their own experience. It
right.
has nothing to do with me, but...
So I think that for me, as I hear you say that, I'm thinking, okay, you and I both have our own areas where we've felt anxious before, and we've been plagued by this crippling anxiety monster. And there just truly are some people who are not that anxious. Like, they're just generally not. And so for those people, I know for certain that they still experience stress. And so you saying, I like stress, that's because you know how to cope with it.
Yeah,
that's because you have outlets. You exercise and you go on walks in the morning and you play soccer 2 times a week in the evening and you run it out and you have other creative outlets. So I think that that's just your experience, that stress isn't that bad. But for some people who don't know how to cope with it, if they don't know how to take time for themselves to do something creative or to do something that, you know, gets their mind and body working in unison together, then they don't know how. And so stress can be just as problematic as anxiety. It's just that I think they're different.
Yeah.
Seem fair enough?
Seems fair to me.
But most important of all is the story we tell about it. And so if we are able to see that there's an area that we're not, doing our best work, or we're not thriving in the way we want to, then we can say, how do I want to experience this instead? Or what's on the other side of this anxiety? What's on the other side of this stress? And then being willing to make that shift, because, you know, change is hard, but it's so possible. And I think that's hopefully what we can, you know, begin to dive even deeper in on these episodes, is how to make changes if that's what you want, how to live a lifted life if right now you're living a stressed out life, because you deserve to feel better, and we think we have some ways that we can help you do that.
I know you kind of broke down the what we call the lifted life components. Do you want to list them again?
Sure. And I think each episode as we go, we'll get deeper into it. We'll share our backstory about why each one matters to us. But really, it's about so much more than just any one thing. It's about getting outside and getting fresh air. It's about moving our body. We weren't designed just to sit still. It's about nutrition and whole foods to nourish our body and to give us energy. Healing our microbiome, because the gut-brain connection is so real. And infusing creativity into our life, knowing that we are the master storyteller, and that at any moment we can feel better simply by shifting our awareness and our perspective and telling a better story. Is that a wrap?
I think that's could be it.
Well, we appreciate you guys listening to episode 1. You know, to be totally honest with you, we were kind of dragging our feet on getting started because we knew it was going to suck on episode 1 compared to episode 100, but you have to start somewhere. And what better lesson than to just do it and to show you guys that it's okay to suck at first.
Would you say we were anxious about it?
I was not actually anxious. I did not have out of control thoughts. I was a little stressed, but in a good, healthy way.
All right, I'll take the anxious flag then.
You were?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Nailed it. Have a great week, guys. Thanks for listening.